Laura Storey and her husband Martin were newlyweds when her husband was diagnosed with a brain tumor. And she gives the testimony in her autobiography of a point on the pathway through the diagnosis, the surgery, and the aftermath, of a point where she came in her life, am I going to let circumstances determine my view of God, or am I going to let God determine my view of my circumstances? At that point in her life, Laura chose to trust in the Lord. And her choice was essentially what our theme verse for the year describes: the just shall live by faith. The encouragement, the challenge, the description of, to you as a believer, living by faith, trusting the Lord as you walk along life's pathway. The original context for this foundational New Testament truth is found in the prophet Habakkuk. And I'd like to ask you to turn to that book in your Bible, to Habakkuk chapter 2. The statement itself is found in verse 4. The just shall live by his faith. But let me take a minute just to describe the context, what is going on in the time of Habakkuk and Habakkuk writing his prophecy. The prophet Habakkuk sees the backslidden state of Judah and what continued in that nation because of the seeming inaction of God. But Habakkuk also is given by the Lord to see coming events, that the Lord would meet the condition of Judah with chastening through the Babylonians, through the army of Babylon. In chapter 2, he is told to write, verse 2, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2, he is told to write a message in bold letters so that all could see it. This would be an unmistakable message. No one could miss this. But verse 4 tells us that there were two ways of reacting to this. The reactions were not because people did not see the message. They could not say that their reaction was because they did not know what was coming. Each reaction was not through a lack of information. It would be a reaction, a response to what is true about God. So these two reactions, you have the first one, the response of the proud. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. And then secondly, the response that is by faith, the response of the just. The hearer is made to make the same determination as Laura, to interpret what was going on by what is true about God, or to interpret God by what is going on in their circumstances. The first is a response of faith. The second is a response of pride. So that response of pride is a response in unbelief. Usually we think of someone who is proud, someone who is a blowhard, someone who has always blown their own trumpet. They're always thinking that they are better than others. But the context here, this pride, is the pride that someone knows better than God. That God should run the circumstances of my life according to my thinking and as I want. That God is not the dictator or the definer of truth. I am. And then secondly, you have the response of faith. This timeless truth that carries on into the New Testament three times. It is the reaction of those who are just. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Faith that accepts his verdict about me and what I am and what I deserve. Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. Faith that accepts his statement and command that salvation is not of works. It is by faith alone. And Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. It accepts his provision. It accepts what is true about him and interprets life now by what is true about him. And Habakkuk, the one who, under inspiration, writes this first, would go on to prove this himself. In chapter 3, in his prayer, he would be subject to the same judgments that would come upon the nation of Judah. He would experience the same lack, the same armies coming in through the fig orchards and through the fields and destroying the flocks. And in chapter 3, verse 18, he says that he would rejoice in the Lord. He would not allow these things, these circumstances, the situation that would unfold in his life. He would not depend on them to determine what was true about God. He would rejoice in what was true about God. He is unchanged. So again, let me repeat this. He is not determining or explaining God by his circumstances. He is explaining his circumstances by what is true about God. And all of this brings us to this point in the message today, and that is the point that you are in your life. The point in your pathway along life's road. It may not be a health crisis, or it may not be a health crisis now, but it could be in the future. It may not be a national crisis, or if it's not a crisis like that now, it could be one in the future. It could be the grind of many things. It could be that this is a season of testing that you are in. Wherever that point is, you are faced with the same choice. To explain or determine what God is by your circumstances, or to explain and determine your circumstances by who God is. There are many today, and there are probably many believers, and there may even be times in your life and in my life where we live by our feelings, where we let circumstances determine our view of God, or how we feel to determine our view of God. But your heart is deceitful, and it would deceive you. Your conscience can be seared so that even if you're not right, you could be without condemnation, without that voice telling you that there's something wrong. And there are lying spirits, we are told, that are active in so-called religious organizations. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 speaks about seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. The power behind religious speakers, they're convincing, they're popular, and yet they're enabled by the power of demons. And no wonder 2 Corinthians 11:14 tells us, no marvel, because Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Where strange and spectacular signs lead people to believe a lie. And there are times where coincidences suggest that something the Bible forbids must be God's will for you, because we allow our circumstances to shape our view of God. So we're at a point. We're at a point in our pathway. Are we going to determine what is true about God by our circumstances, or are we going to determine what is true about our circumstances by who God is? You can shape your view of God by how you feel, or you can shape how you feel by what is true about the Lord. There are times when it seems that God does not care, that God is not working, that He is not answering your prayer, that you may feel it's never going to work out, there's never going to be good comes from my obedience or my efforts. But why are you doing it? Why are you obeying? Why are you seeking to do these things that God asks of you? Are you doing it because of what is true about God? Maybe all the while God is delaying and making you wait to prove what's in your heart. Keep your place in Habakkuk, please, and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, the context here is explained for us in verse 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. Sometimes the Lord purposely puts us through a wilderness time. He causes us to go through that because that is the only way to prove what's in your heart. If you will obey him because of who he is, or if you are doing it for some other reason. So do you allow your circumstances to determine your view of God? This seeming to you that God doesn't care? Or are you determining your view of your circumstances by what is true of God? And it may not be that you think God doesn't care about you. You may think that God doesn't care with what's going on in the lives of others. It seems that others get away with things. And in fact, when they are doing wrong, it seems that they excel and they are approved. Isaiah chapter 8 verse 20 says that if they speak not according to this word, there is no light in them. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy says that a man is not crowned except he strive lawfully. And we should remember what is true about the Lord. David tells us in Psalm 37 not to fret ourselves against the workers of iniquity. Don't envy them, but instead trust in the Lord. And the psalmist Asaph in Psalm 73 says that I understood their end, that you have set them in slippery places. Should you let what you see going on in the world determine your view of God, or should you let your view of God determine how you understand what's going on in the world and in the lives of others? And it may be that it seems God doesn't care what you do, how you treat people close to you, and it seems that you get away with it. There are no thunderbolts or acts of God or things falling out of the sky upon you. Then all must be good with me and God. Or maybe it means that he doesn't really mean that wrong is wrong and right is right. Or maybe he doesn't care. Or maybe this idea that there is one true and living God, maybe that is just false. We're warned by the Lord Jesus about seeking a sign, Matthew 16:4. It's a wicked and perverse generation that seek for a sign. But this is why God gave the message to Habakkuk. That's why Habakkuk was told to make this sign big, so that there would be no mistaking in it, that people could see it. There'd be no excuse that I did not know, there was lack of information. And this is the entire function of the Word of God, to clearly say what He is, to shape your view of circumstance by what is true about God. The Lord is almighty. He is the only God. He's the creator of the ends of the earth. All the material universe is made by Him. The heavens, the stars, the solar system, and the invisible creation also. Innumerable company of angels, the scriptures say. He is the only living God who never sleeps, is never weary, who never makes mistakes, who never has to correct His course. He alone exists as three co-equal eternal persons, full of holiness, rightness, and goodness, knowing all, in every place present at the same time, and by His power does all He promises. He coordinates a sparrow's fall, and an emperor's edict, and the arrow's flight, and the angry waves to be still. And yet by the greatness of His grace and love, this thrice holy One, whose eyes are a flame of fire, cares to voluntarily go as man, to be flayed and mocked and scorned and crucified by man. No power of nails could keep Him there. No sword of a centurion. No crowds, voices yelling. What kept Him there was His own will. He stayed there voluntarily. And He endured the withdrawal of the Father's fellowship and the outpouring of the cup of God's wrath, drinking it to the very dregs. The wrath of God against all the sins of all the sinners out of His care for the souls of wicked sinners like you and like me. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And because He is true, He did not stay dead. He rose as He said, and as the Scripture foretold. What a bold and unmistakable message this is. And the same two responses are called for. Will you respond by interpreting your life in light of who God is? Or will you respond by interpreting your God by your life circumstances? What do you say then? What will your response be? If you were to get what you deserve now, what you think you deserve, if you were to get what you really deserve now, it would be to cast into the lake of fire immediately. And we shouldn't say, well, that's true of sinners, that's true of you. That's true of me. That is what I deserve. But this is the long suffering of God. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repent, to change how they think, to let God determine their view of circumstances. I'm in that group of sinners. Are you? How should you expect something different from God? How do you think that you deserve something other than this? there are still many, even believers, even among Christians, perhaps even here today, who don't think they've got what's fair, got what is fair. And let's be honest, to go through wilderness times, to go through difficult times or times of chastening, that's not pleasant. Nobody would enjoy that. The cuts and the grinds and the long multiplied trials make some feel that they're crossed by God. And perhaps you feel today that you are at that point on your pathway. And before you, there are two responses: to let your circumstances determine your view of God in your pride and unbelief, or let God determine your view of your circumstances. The response of faith: to let God be God, to submit yourself to Him, to submit your life to Him, and that situation that troubles you so, to what is true about Him. Laura Story's autobiography that I started with, the title of it is When God Does Not Fix It. And she had to face the choice then of letting what God is be enough, even if He doesn't change things, even if He doesn't heal it, even if He doesn't remove it, even if He doesn't change them. To let what He is be enough. To let who He is determine how I think and how I explain my circumstances. Maybe today your response to all of this is, yeah, I know that I need to trust Him, but I don't know that I can. There's the words of a father that we're told about in Matthew chapter 17, whose son was demon possessed, and because of that demon, sometimes he'd be cast into the fire. And when this father came to the Lord Jesus, he said, "Help my unbelief." And maybe today the only thing that you can pray at this point in your pathway is to ask the Lord, "Help me. Help me to trust You. Help me to determine this situation and these things in my life that are so difficult for me. Help me to determine how I think of them in light of who You are." Can I ask?